Okay, I'd like to go ahead and introduce you to your co-hosts for this evening. First up is the wonderful and recently showered Ellie Sparks. And so Ellie, if you would introduce yourself, please.
All right, so I'm the Director of Field Development for Citizens Climate Lobby, and I work with the folks who are starting up new chapters. I lead a couple of phone calls. I do the Wednesday night introductory phone call, so when you send people to learn about CCL, I'm the person usually who's doing that phone call. I do a Tuesday night emerging group leaders call for people who are starting up a new group or taking over leadership of an existing group or otherwise wanting to dig into all of the elements, getting an overview. I do a Monday night train the trainers. So I train the folks who lead our climate advocate training group start workshops. And I started out as a volunteer 7 years ago, starting the Richmond, Virginia chapter. It was chapter number 26. And I've been to every conference since that year. So I guess that's eight conferences. I don't know how many conferences it is, but I love the conference. I'm excited to be here tonight with you all.
Great. Thank you, Ellie. And then that's me. My name is Ricky Bradley. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm also one of the IT directors for Citizens Climate Lobby. Like Ellie, started off as a volunteer in 2012, starting chapter 42, the Dallas, Texas chapter. I can't believe we're where we are now. It just seems incredible to think about. So I've been with CCL since around 2012. One of the things we've been working on for the past couple of years, past 3 or 4 years, is education. It's going to be some changes in that pretty soon. I can't say anything, but hey, here's Brett. And I'll let Brett introduce.
Hey, everybody. Hi, folks. Thanks for being on the call. Brett Cease here. Actually, ironically, also calling in from Dallas, and I'm the Third Coast Regional Coordinator. I've been a volunteer since 2011 as well, and when I'm not chatting, I guess, with the best group leaders in the country down here in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, no bias, I'm actually researching and teaching over across the street at UT Dallas as a public policy doctoral student. So. And if it's all right, Ricky, I guess I'll just jump in. Let's get this party started, right? So basically tonight, what we're going to do is really outline a couple of important things to keep in mind as you're preparing for your lobby meetings and then actually role playing. But let's get started by talking about how the lobby meeting we will demonstrate is structured. So the outline is really simple, and I know a lot of you have probably already had the chance to see that before. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end, like all good stories. And at the beginning of the meeting, you want to thank them for the time. We always start with a thank you or an appreciation. You want to find out how much time they have, and then introduce yourselves and really kind of make sure to ground yourself in your own personal stories and experiences of why you're there. You want to make sure to show that appreciation throughout the introductions, and then clearly state the purpose that CCL is bringing to that meeting. And especially, we also want to deliver constituent communication and present our ask. So that's all kind of in the nested beginning stage. In the middle is really the heart of the meeting, and that's where we kind of can dive in. And this includes the discussion, active listening, hearing concerns from the staff or the member, listening for values, and really practicing those listening skills that we cultivate so hard, finding common ground, and then overcoming obstacles that might arise during the discussion. And then really in the middle, you're going to transition to executing your strategy to move them forward. So what does the office need to help move down the lever of climate and specifically fee and dividend engagement? And then transitioning from there at the end of the meeting, you want to see if they're willing to commit to our ask or present especially your strategic supporting asks. Ask the who you work with across the aisle question that we're so well known for. And also, what could we be doing more of in your district to make it easier for you to support carbon fee and dividend? I love that question. And then we also want to make sure that we're confirming with follow-up items and doing the leave behind. So what we're going to do now is actually, rather than breeze through that, demonstrate what an actual meeting looks like with all those components.
All right. Thanks, Brett. And I see some folks, just real quick, trying to write down all that stuff that you were talking about. Don't worry about that. Again, the meeting has been recorded. You can go back and listen to it. But you can also go into CCL Community and just search for meeting outline. And there's a generic meeting outline that'll have all these elements in there for you. So it shouldn't be too hard to find, hopefully, if I've designed it well. All right, so we are going to go ahead and do that all important demonstration. Again, we're not going to cover, you know, every aspect. You'll obviously see that we're cutting some stuff off, you know, or doing it a little bit short. But what's going to happen here is I'm going to narrate, but I'm also going to play the role of Congressman Bradley, something I've always wanted to that works. We'll stop at certain points to debrief what just happened and talk a little bit about it. Now, in this demonstration, Ellie is going to play our wonderful meeting leader. So she's the CCL meeting leader, and she happens to be a constituent of mine, like that. So she voted for me. Maybe, we'll see. Brett is on the lobby team with Ellie. He's also a constituent. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the beginning and the middle and the end for an initial meeting with a member of Congress and cover, you know, those things we were just talking about. Then we'll demonstrate, we'll go back and we'll do another role play. And we'll just demonstrate the middle section of like a follow-up meeting. So like a second or third meeting, you know, so we won't do the beginning and end for that one. Let's see. So I'm Congressman Bradley. I represent Kansas's first district, and I do have an energy aide named Jim Patrick, which I'll play that role in the second demonstration. Now, our agenda is going to be really broad here, right? Because this is our first meeting with a member of Congress or their staff, right? So, you know, they don't know much about CCL. So, you know, really our goals here are to establish trust, show respect and appreciation, and really start thinking of this, if you're having that initial meeting, as building a relationship or a first date, right? It's not a one-time event. So think about it in those terms. And of course, we're going to want to make sure we are starting laying the groundwork for finding common ground, advising their policy. But we need to be prepared, as we do in all meetings, to do a lot of listening. And so you'll notice that there'll be lots of questions and lots of listening in this demonstration. Okay, so here we go with the start of the meeting, and we not walk in, and in comes Ellie and Brett. And Ellie, take it away.
All right. First of all, Congressman Bradley, we want to acknowledge how busy you are and how appreciative we are that you were able to carve out some time for us today.
Well, it's great to see you both so engaged in the political process. And I know you two came halfway across the country to visit me, so I'm really glad to meet with you today.
Thank you, Congressman. And we also, in knowing it's a busy day, want to thank you and ask, how much time do you have for the meeting?
You know, Brett, I've got a committee meeting in 20 minutes, so I can give you guys about 15 minutes. You know, I just think, I wish they would put my office somewhere close to the committee rooms, but, you know, I guess that's how our government works sometimes.
Yes, you all walking in D.C. Well, my name is Ellie Sparks, and I'm a constituent of yours living in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm here today because I have two children who are young adults now. One is in college, Sophia. She's studying accounting and finance. And my son Peter's in 10th grade. Both deserve a future that is safe and secure, and climate change threatens their future. I'd like to see what we can do to address climate change for them.
And my name is Brett Cease. I'm a constituent as well, Congressman. And I actually live over in Wichita, and I'm a school teacher. And I'm here today because I'm worried about the kind of world that the kids I teach will grow up in, and I want to do my part to make it as safe as possible for them.
Well, you know, Brett, I served 16 years in the Kansas legislature fighting for school children and for seniors, too. I believe government really should exercise its power to look after its most vulnerable citizens, and I believe our children and our seniors are, you know, fit that description. And I really admire you for devoting your life to educating our kids. I know how difficult that is right now with this federal government trying to impose its will always on our local school districts.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Congressman.
Congressman Bradley, we'd like to start off by telling you how much we admire your work to protect seniors from identity theft scams. My mom is a widow. She lives alone. She's elderly now, and your work means I have one less thing to worry about her as she ages.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, Ellie. You know, it's important to me that all Kansans know that if they work hard, you know, they're going to be able to retire comfortably.
Thank you, and we entirely agree. So since we've only got a few minutes, Congressman, let me briefly tell you why we're here, and then we'd like to hear your thoughts on our policy. So Our purpose at Citizens Climate Lobby is to create the political will for a livable world. And back home in Lawrence, we're working to create that political space we know you'll need to support our policy. Over the past couple of months, just to demonstrate our activity, we've actually gathered letters and postcards from your constituents and endorsements from community leaders throughout Lawrence. And here's a big stack of 120 from your constituents and an endorsement of our policy from the Lawrence Regional Medical Center.
Congressman, our ask is for you to introduce legislation that puts a fee on fossil fuels and returns the net revenue to American households. Although seeing how this is our first meeting with you, how about we start with hearing your thoughts on climate and energy policy?
Okay, so we're going to step out of the role play real quick, and we're going to debrief that that first part of the meeting. So again, we started off as the going over the elements that Brett talked about in the beginning of a meeting. We started by thanking him. You want to thank him or her for the meeting. Ask them how much time they have. You introduce yourself. You show appreciation. Deliver the purpose. You know, Brett talked about, hey, here's some letters and postcards. Not everyone's going to have those all the time. Maybe you mail them all in May. That's fine. Skip that part if you don't. And then Ellie presented our ask. Now, notice how quick that was. That was pretty quick, right? It depends. You know, you might have more just jovial conversation at the beginning, but usually the beginning's pretty quick. But, you know, every meeting is different. So just adapt to the situation because, you know, if this is your fifth meeting with someone and you've met with them all five times, you're probably not going to need to do that introduction every time or tell your story about why you're there. I mean, they probably understand why you're there at that point. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Practice that awareness of the situation. Or, you know, maybe the member of Congress or staffer says they only have 10 minutes for you. Right. So there's times in D.C. when you go and we don't have any constituents in a meeting and we're lucky just to be able to talk to somebody in the office. And so they're usually going to say, well, I have about 10 minutes for you because, you know, let's face it, you're not a constituent. So maybe you skip some of that formal introduction stuff and you get right down to it with them to really talk about the policy. But just do what feels right for the situation. You know, once the conversation starts, read the room and demonstrate adaptive performance. And Ellie's going to talk about that a little bit later in this presentation. Now, one thing notice that we did not do is we didn't take the bait to go off topic there, right? So Congressman Bradley also has some really strong thoughts on the federal government's role in local education, right? And that's where, you know, Brett's employed. But Brett didn't take the bait and go off topic there, which was good. We only have 15 minutes, and if he were to go off topic there, no telling how much time would have been eaten up. And quite frankly, we're focused, right? We're focused on our idea. Also notice that the ask that Ellie gave was direct, clear, and specific, right? So our primary ask, as we talked about last week or talked about in Lobbying 201, will always be the same. So it's really not worth it to test the waters, right? To start negotiating with ourselves. Put the ask out there because the worst possible thing that can happen is you leave the meeting and they don't even know why you're there, what you're asking for. And I've been in a meeting where that happened and, you know, probably I should have done something about it, but it happened, right? So don't let that happen. Get the primary ask in early, follow that part of the outline. They'll probably tell you no, but then you'll be able to ask questions and to figure out why not. Okay. So let's go ahead and resume the meeting. So now we're going to move to the middle part, the discussion, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to start with me as a congressman responding to Ellie's question. And Ellie's question, just to remind you, was how about we start with hearing your thoughts on climate and energy policy? So here I go, method acting. Hang on 1 second. There. Okay. Well, Ellie, I can't say that I hear much about the need to do something about the climate or global warming back in Kansas. And I think I know what the general mood is there. And, you know, we've got a really strong wind sector. But that wind industry, it really needs to start competing on its own without the need for tax subsidies or credits or, you know, subsidies or tax credits. That's why I supported this gradual elimination of the production tax credit for wind. So when it comes to energy policy, you can put me in the all the above category. Regardless of climate change or this so-called global warming, we need American energy independence. We need to stop propping up one industry at the expense of another. Now, I don't want you two to get me wrong here. I'm not anti-environment. I mean, I know I've been portrayed as being anti-environment, but we need to keep this economy going. And these regulations are just choking our small businesses. People of Kansas, and YouTube probably as well, sent me over a very clear message to stop the federal government's overreach.
Thank you for sharing that, Congressman. So what I'm hearing you say is that both the economy and the environment are important to you, not one or the other. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of negative things are said about me because I do think jobs first. But, you know, I'm just telling you, an environmental agenda isn't good for business.
Well, we can certainly appreciate being unfairly labeled, Congressman. I mean, we're often portrayed as being anti-business, but nothing could be further from the truth. We, like you, want the economy and the environment to flourish together. Have you been briefed on our carbon fee and dividend proposal?
You know, I know my AGM has reviewed it in some detail, but why don't you just tell me about it?
All right. So what we're proposing is that we put a steadily rising fee on fossil fuel. We would start the fee low so we don't shock the economy. It would steadily and predictably rise over time and continue rising until we've solved the problem. It's a three-legged stool. So that's the first leg. Second leg is the dividend going back to all households. So we've collected this fee. And the question becomes what to do with that money. So, you know, some people are saying invest in research and development or pay down the debt. We say return the revenue evenly to households. Every adult gets one share. Every child gets half a share, up to two children per household. So that's the second leg of that three-legged stool. And the third leg deals with the with our international trading partners. So there'd be a border adjustment. Goods coming from a country that is not pricing carbon would be assessed a fee at the border. And goods from the U.S. going to a country that's not pricing carbon would be rebated the value of the fee at the border. So this would prevent carbon leakage. It would prevent companies from the U.S. Leaving, looking for places where they could manufacture without carbon pricing. And it would also inspire our trading partners to begin pricing carbon on their own.
We've got to ask, how does this sound in comparison to the regulations sought by the previous administration to you?
Well, let me be clear, Brett. Those clean energy regulations were killing jobs in Kansas. And really, for what? I couldn't figure it out. I mean, what we were doing was imposing additional costs on Americans, and I don't see how these rules stop global warming one bit. But I do understand this, increasing cost isn't good for businesses or consumers.
Well, when I first became concerned about climate change as well, I struggled with that. And I'm curious, could I tell you what I found out about the dividend aspect of our proposal that actually put me at ease?
Sure, Brett. Why don't you put me at ease too?
Well, thank you for obliging. So knowing your economic background, I think you'll appreciate what we've learned here. And what's really interesting about CCL's policy is that not only will it reduce emissions faster than those regulations you're complaining about, but will actually return the net proceeds to households. And in that process, the dividend has a stimulative effect on job creation in Kansas, so throughout the whole economy. Job creation occurs because when people get a dividend check each month, what do? They spend it. And you know as well as anyone that about 70% of our American economy is tied directly to consumer spending, and that healthcare is a large slice of that. So that's why employers like Lawrence Regional and Children's Hospital stand to benefit from people having more money to afford healthcare and other goods that they can pocket with that new money in their spending.
Great. Okay, so let's go ahead and pause this the meeting again. So we're going to step out of our role and let's debrief that middle part, and then we'll wrap up this part of the meeting. Obviously, there's going to be more discussion going on, you know, when Brett says something like that. But we're going to go ahead and we're just demonstrating that first part, and we'll demonstrate the middle part of a follow-up meeting in just a moment. So notice what we didn't do here. There's a couple things we did not do. We didn't correct the congressman or take him to task for his position on climate or any other statements that we didn't agree with. It's obvious that, you know, we see things differently. We have different worldviews. But why start with something that puts us in that situation where one person has to be right and one person has to be wrong, right? We're trying to start this relationship. Instead, you know, it makes more sense to listen and ask additional questions so we can start to find that common ground. And I think that's what Brett and Ellie were doing. They were getting to some common ground there in a way that works for Congressman Bradley, right? It's clear that he doesn't hold the same belief we do in global warming. You know, he said so-called global warming is kind of dismissive on it. And so he's already really revealed to us how he feels. So just go ahead and move to common ground at that point. It's also evident from the responses to Ellie's fantastic explanation of carbon fee and dividend and Brett's question that he didn't hear a lot of it. He was really fixated on cost, right, and how it might impact the economy negatively. So right there, that kind of clued Brett into talking about the benefits. But rather than, you know, explicitly drawing his in saying, well, didn't you hear what we just said? You know, the money's coming back. Brett did a great job of pivoting and talking about how the dividend would benefit local hospitals. So bringing it back to his area, making it salient to him. So again, Brett's not putting him into a situation where he's a loser for not listening or understanding what Bradley, for Ellie had to say, but he's trying to help them move forward. All right, so let's go ahead and demonstrate how to wrap up a meeting, and then we'll demonstrate the middle section of a follow-up meeting where we have some more like we'll demonstrate. All right, so the meeting can draw to end in a couple of ways. Either the timekeeper, who's the person in that role, notices that we're about 5 minutes from the end of the allotted meeting, and they'll somehow or another signal to the leader that, it's 5 minutes are left. Or you might be picking up on some body language cues by the member of Congress or the staffer. They close their book or they keep looking at their watch or something like that. That means it's time to end the meeting as well. Okay, because usually if they're in that kind of mode, they're not listening to you anyways, right? So let's be respectful of that. Wrap up the meeting. We can have another one, and we'll show you how you set up for the next meeting as well. The important thing here is don't try to squeeze in more discussion, right? We want to leave them wanting more because there's going to be another meeting. So let's resume that first meeting scenario. We've had our discussion. We've gone back and forth a little bit. And now Ellie's going to begin with the wrapping up the first meeting.
Congressman Bradley, I see we're nearing the end of our time with you. And so I wanted to ask if you'd be willing to introduce a bill that puts a fee on carbon and return the net proceeds to American households.
Well, you know, Ellie, I think it's a novel approach you guys have, but I do have some reservations. And besides yourselves, you know, this is just not a topic that's important to my constituents, and I'm here to work on what's important to them.
I understand. This is our first meeting, after all. We promise to go home and continue working on grassroots support so that when we meet again, we'll have more letters and endorsements for you. Would you be willing to sit down with your staff and review our proposal and get back to us with what exactly is preventing you from introducing our policy?
You know, I'll do that, Ellie. It seems like I got the easier task between the two of us. If you're going to speak, though, with the folks back home, may I recommend you speak with Mayor Rawlings? You know, he's a former utility CEO, and he's someone that I listen to regarding energy issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, actually, for that recommendation. And like we said earlier, we are trying to make it easier for you to support our policy. So we'll actually make an appointment to see the mayor. I'm actually going to leave this one-page ask with you. And how would you like for me to follow up with any additional materials in the future?
You can do that. You can follow up with Jim through email.
Perfect. Congressman, one last thing before we leave. Would you mind telling us with whom you enjoy working with on the other side of the aisle?
Oh, Brett, you know, I'm pretty new here. There are a lot of ill feelings around here right now, so I really haven't had the opportunity to bond with my esteemed colleagues on the other side of the aisle.
No, that must be frustrating. But is there one you've gotten to know somewhat?
You know, it's funny. Senator Feinstein and I sat next to each other on the plane the other day, and she's not as bad as she seems on TV. All right. So that's the end of our demonstration for an initial meeting. Now, notice there our supporting ask was pretty simple in this case, right? We want to always give them something that they can say yes to. And sometimes it's a stretch supporting ask. Remember that supporting ask was, would you just review our proposal, go through it, and then get back to us and tell us exactly what's preventing you from getting us from getting your support. Now, what we're going to do is demonstrate what it might sound like when we come back now for that follow-up meeting. okay? The situation here is that this is our second meeting with Congressman Bradley, and now we're going to be actually meeting with the energy aide. His name is Jim Patrick, and I'm going to play Jim in this meeting. And what we're going to do here, if you remember, it wasn't so long ago, it was just like a minute ago, Ellie had a supporting ask that was to review our policy in depth, but to get back with us and let us know what stands in the way of gaining his support. So in between the first meeting and the follow-up meeting, we received an email from Jim, myself, the energy aide, really detailing what the congressman objections were to carving fee and dividend. And so that's the basis of this meeting. Okay, so we asked them for a supporting ask, they got back to us, and we created that and turned that into a second meeting, right? And you can do that in all sorts of situations. If they have reservations about maybe the border adjustment in your first meeting, you say, hey, you know, it sounded like you had some border adjustment issues or needed some more in-depth explanation of that. Can we go ahead and meet with you again in a couple of months and go over that aspect of our policy? So there's always ways to get that next meeting. You want to keep that relationship going. Just like a first date, if you really like the person, you're gonna put up your best profile. You're not gonna let them know how really weird you are, but you're gonna get that second date, right? All right, so let's go ahead and follow up. And we're gonna do, this is the follow-up meeting. And so we've already done the introductions, and we're gonna go ahead and start right into the discussion, Ellie.
All right, Jim, in your follow-up email, you mentioned two things are preventing Congressman Bradley from supporting carbon fee and dividend. First, you said the fee or tax seems punitive to the energy industry. And second, the dividend seems like income redistribution. Did I get that correct?
You're spot on, Ellie. That's exactly what he thinks.
Well, that's great, because we took a lot of those concerns, and I think that, you know, we're going to find here there's not a lot of daylight between us. So here's what we did. After we received your email, we circled back and took another look at our proposal. And again, Congressman Bradley's support, we made sure it addressed those points. Would you like to actually hear what we found?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's start with the first item, the perception that the fee is punitive to fossil fuel producers. I don't know if I've told you this, but Ronald Reagan's former Secretary of State, George Shultz, is on our advisory board.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we agree. So we consulted with Secretary Shultz on this, and he tells us that if all of the players in the energy field should have an equal opportunity to win. He goes on to say that if all producers of energy, just like any other business, should be accountable for the full cost of the product they provide, and that we need to put the cost of production onto the balance sheets of the producers. So what you and I believe, that businesses should not be able to subsidize their cost of doing business with tax dollars, is what our fee is designed to correct. I mean, we agree that all businesses should pay for their cost of doing business, right?
You know, Ellie, that sounds great in theory, but you know, we can't switch to these lower emitting fuels overnight. We don't have the infrastructure to make that kind of switch right now.
Precisely. And the great thing I'm hearing you say, Jim, is that we agree on this principle of accountability. Yet we need to address what a smooth transition looks like, and possibly how our current producers of energy could actually lead the way. So why don't we address the second point from your email, and then if we have time, we can talk more about that transition.
That sounds perfect. What's next?
Well, you mentioned that Congressman Bradley considered our proposal to be a form of income redistribution. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, it just sounds like, you know, wealthier people will be paying more of the carbon fee than poor people. So, you know, they'll end up coming out behind. And so that just seems like you're taking money from the rich and giving to the poor.
And I'm wondering if this is an issue then of fairness to this office.
I believe so. I think everyone deserves fair treatment. Yeah.
It matters to me too, that things be fair, right? So that's why I like it, that everyone gets the same dividend instead of some people getting more and some less and government bureaucrats getting involved in deciding which quintile is rewarded which quantity. Does that seem fair to you?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it definitely sounds fair, but there's still some winners and losers here.
You're right, there are, and I guess why do you think that is?
Well, again, I think it's because some people use more fossil fuel than others, right? And so their cost will go up more so than the people who use less.
I think you're right. We've been trying to figure out a way to make this as simple and fair as possible. We have some data that shows exactly how the people in our district would fare under carbon fee and dividend. Would you like to take a look at that now?
Sure. Okay, so let's stop there. We're going to debrief. Again, if you remember from our, if you've listened already to Lobbying 201, we talked about what's the most important tool, or our best tool to have available for a meeting is how our policy will impact that district, data that shows them that. And that's stuff that we do have with the Remy report and also with our household impact study, which breaks down and looks at how each quintile will be impacted and different socioeconomic groups in each congressional district. So that's really powerful data to share with your members of Congress. It's always something great to come back to, especially when they start talking about winners and losers, because most folks don't have that understanding of how that dividend return actually has a positive impact in their district. So if you can show them that and show them it's not as bad as they thought, and it's probably even much better than they thought, that's really powerful stuff. So first of all, notice how this meeting is different from the first, and that we had a specific agenda to cover, right? And we had points to cover from our previous meeting. There's a quick summary, but then we were prepared to go ahead and address those concerns in a way that moved things forward. And notice what we didn't do here again, we didn't get off track. We stuck to our meeting plan. Even when the aide brought up a new objection, when I said, you know, we're not going to be able to make that transition overnight, right? And you'll hear all kinds of talking points in your meetings like that, you know, things that people pick up. And you can go down that rabbit hole if you're prepared for it and if you think it makes sense. Or you can say, you know, I'm going to, not that's rabbit hole, or then I'm going to stay on point here and finish up this meeting because we're here for a very specific task. The point here is that, you know, there's no one size fits all. You need to do what feels right for your meeting. Most time I would say it probably makes most sense to listen what they're saying, acknowledge it, say let's finish what we're here to do and we can talk about that a little bit more. And maybe it's the basis for another meeting again. But never be afraid to say, I don't know. Never be afraid to say that. A, because they'll be able to see through you if you try to fake it. But B, again, it creates the chance for another meeting. I don't know the answer to that quite yet, but I tell you what, let me see if I can get back to you on that. Can we set up another meeting to talk about that? Also, hope you noticed the number of questions asked by Brett and Ellie. Really what we're trying to do here is draw out more information so we can discover where we have common ground and discover misconceptions, right? So all we know is that what they were talking about is they don't think we should penalize fossil fuel producers. Well, really what it gets down is to an issue of accountability. So it's a little bit of a different discussion once you ask those questions. And also what I think was extremely important and what we know from motivational interviewing as well is asking for permission to proceed. Would you like to take a look at that now? Mm. Would you like to hear what we found? I too had those reservations. Can I tell you what I've learned? That's powerful because what it does is it prepares people to listen to you. Okay, so that's the end of our role play. I know that makes everyone really, really sad. You won't get to fantastic stuff right now. So we're going to go ahead and switch gears here and talk about some really important elements of a meeting. And Brett's going to kick us off with that.
Sure. Well, I like to think that as an organization, every year we get better at what we're doing because we're actually trying new things and getting feedback and seeing if they work and then adding them to our toolbox. And so here are some of the favorite tools we're going to be using this year, starting with delivering constituent communication. Now, one thing you've probably heard of, and if you haven't yet, I'd make sure to ask your group leader or your state or regional coordinator. We actually have a table at the conference this year for the first time for letter exchange. So make sure to bring all those letters that you collected at Earth Day tabling events, you name it. If they're from other districts, we're also going to have the opportunity for you to swap those out and make sure they get delivered to the right member of Congress. Beyond that, we also want to make sure to ask more questions to draw more information and to find out what the member of Congress or the staff does or does not understand about our policy. And that role play, I think you could really see that there were some gaps of understanding, and a lot of the questions led to teasing that out. We also want to ground ourselves in listening for values so that we can establish that common ground. Where is there overlap? We want to ask permission to proceed, like Ricky said. That's largely because asking for permission to proceed prepares them to hear what we have to say and primes them for that next step, which is at the end of a follow-up meeting, we will place the question of, with whom do they work with across the aisle, and instead ask, what could we be doing more of in your district to make it easier for you to support our policy? That's an absolutely critical question that I would encourage every one of us on the call tonight to kind of have internalized so that it rolls off the tongue at the end of your meetings.
All right. So another important element is play. You know, Mark always says we're betting the ranch on relationships. We're in the relationship business. That means you get to bring your personality to the meeting and you get to have fun with a staff member or member of Congress. They are having long, hard days. I know you are. Theirs are long and hard. So, you know, say you're meeting with a staffer who grew up on a ranch. You could go ahead and playfully ask if they know how to wrangle cattle. If your member of Congress went to a rival school, you could tease them in a playful way about that. You look around their office and can comment on the pictures or the displays that they've got. It's so fun to see all those different offices, what they look like. If it's your first meeting with a staff person, ask them to introduce themselves at the beginning of the meeting. Find out how they drew the short straw, so to speak, and got stuck with the energy issue as what they're focused on. You know, let these be playful, personal, recognize that this is going to build relationships and make the meetings more fun for everyone.
And I think another extremely important thing beyond all those excellent points that Ali's mentioned, to really do beforehand, to set yourself up for success, to develop and practice, you know, rehearse your set of questions. So you might run into a situation where you have an unresponsive aide, and just getting any kind of output from them is like getting blood from a stone, right? So having a set of questions that you can fall back on will signal to them that you're really prepared to listen and to keep listening. And additionally, no matter how many times you've lobbied, there's going to be situations where you get flustered. Having been in multiple of those myself, having a couple of those prepared questions will really help ground you back into that conversation. And also on that topic, if you're sitting in a meeting trying to think of the next question, you can't also possibly be listening to what that other person is saying, right? So the joy of questions is that, especially if they're good, they build off previous meetings and allow you to clarify any misunderstandings and, you know, move the conversation forward. And in that, a great question really is one that we should know the answer to, and that's, what is preventing you from supporting this approach? And you can already have some of the most common barriers in mind with kind of that Fed dialogue. And then lastly, really on the topic of questions, when you get stuck, you can always fall back on this one. At least it works for me. Can you tell me what your thoughts are about what we just said? Or, hey, do you have any questions about what we just covered?
Awesome. All right. So another important meeting element is being adaptive, or you could call it adaptive performance. So adaptive performance is the ability to perceive and understand what is happening in the moment and being able to react to the challenges in the moment as they happen. Being adaptive means you're not only listening to the words being said, but also the tone of the voice, you're noticing the body language. Now look, we will spend plenty of time planning and preparing in advance of the meeting, who's going to have which role in the meeting, but we can't let those plans or preparation put us on autopilot. We need to be able to take whatever scenario is happening and let it play out. So that's why we're going to be focusing on what is being said in the moment and respond to what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're perceiving, not what we expect or what we think we heard. We need to be flexible and practice good listening.
So let's kind of close tonight by talking about some common pitfalls or mousetraps, which will lessen your chances of developing a good working relationship with Congress. And like Ellie said, you know, we can't control what people will say, but we can control our own reactions. And so part of why we do research before meetings is that so you can anticipate all the things that your staffer, your member are going to throw at you, and so that you don't lose it when they say what you're anticipating. So other pitfalls beyond that to avoid include losing control, interrupting a member of Congress or staffer that doesn't often lead to anywhere productive, raising or chasing unrelated topics like we demonstrated in the first role play, talking too much. Again, we're in listen mode here. And, you know, a weak ask, negotiating with yourself, like Ricky said. And lastly, you want to be in a place where you can control your emotions and not get angry.
All right. So I think it's also extremely important to give plenty of listening space and focus on the member of Congress and the staff person. Our development director, Lene Pettengill, told us a story about a meeting she was having with a very quiet staff member. You know, Lene said she appeared to have a question or a concern but wasn't asking it. One of our team members was getting ready to give more information. After all, the staffer wasn't saying anything. However, the team leader, practicing awareness, picked up on the body language and asked the staffer if she might have a question about what had been shared so far, and she did. And when we gave her the space to go back and get the clarification she needed about our proposal, then her body language shifted, and you could tell she was ready to hear some more. I think this is the most difficult aspect of a staffer or member of Congress meeting. We have so much valuable information we want to share. We're so passionate about addressing the climate crisis. However, we're likely to be much more effective if we share only what the staffer most needs and wants to hear. That way, we're meeting them where they are, not where we think they should be or where we want them to be.
Awesome. Thank you, Ellie. Okay, well, that's it for our presentation this evening. We've covered a lot of material, and I hope that has stoked some questions out there. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop here for questions and wrap up for tonight. So what I'd like to do, again, all lines have been muted, so if you'd like to unmute yourself, you can click the little microphone symbol in the lower left-hand portion of your screen. If you're online, if you're on the phone, *6 will mute and unmute yourself. And you can also type your question in the chat window if you want. There's a little button below that says chat. You can type your question in there. Please tell us your name before your question. If you haven't told us where you're joining from, say that as well. And then shoot your question for any one of us.
Ricky, I see a couple from DC that are in the chat window. Do we want to handle those first?
Yeah, let's read those. Let's see. Well, first one, is there an ongoing list of these workshops? Absolutely. I'm interested in most of them, but I don't know where to look up, see what's coming up. Great. I will send you the link to that, but I'll put it in the chat, but it is on our community website, and it's under the CCU training menu option, but I will definitely, while Brett and Ellie...
I'll do that if that's, yeah.
Yeah, well, Brett and Ellie answer your next question, I'll go get that link. The other question that DC asks, do politicians usually say yes when you ask them to review the policy and get back to you?
Yes. They're pretty agreeable. They're willing to do something like that. Certainly the harder, if it's a bigger commitment you're asking of them, they want to go back and think about it. What is your experience, Brett?
I was going to say the beautiful thing, just like we talked about with asking questions, is even if they don't actually, you know, review the policy, by asking, you are then setting yourself up on the next meetings to return to and assume that they have and build out the conversation from, you know, those points. And so I think really kind of structuring it in a question format allows that conversation to keep going. Regardless of action on their end, invites the conversation between yours to keep on, you know, making sure to get clarity.
Yeah, and I'll just add, if I may, that my experience actually with that, Deb, is that if you send the policy to the staffer, especially in advance, they will have read it. They will have gone through it if you do it in advance. And so it can really help your meeting, especially if it's your first meeting, because you can really start getting into a little more detail. Now, member of Congress, maybe not so, you know, right? They've got so many issues that they're working on, and so they do rely on their staff. But if you have sent the information to them ahead of time, usually they'll brief the member of Congress briefly, you know, before they come into the meeting. They don't want to look like as bad as I did there by just passing the buck off and saying, oh, well, Jim knows all about it. But usually when it comes to policy stuff, they're pretty agreeable, right? Read this, tell us your thoughts on this policy. I mean, that's what they do all day long, right? So it kind of gets them in that mode where they can say yes.
What do we do if they say yes? If they say yes, I'll sponsor Carbon Fiend Diffident. After we're done hugging and kissing them, what do?
You just leave.
That's it? Well, don't we, is there something for them to sign? Is there, you know, how do we move them from saying yes to actually doing yes?
Yeah. How do we hold them to it?
Right. Ellie, Brett, I think all of you can take this one.
So I would say something really big like that. If they say, yes, I want to sponsor a piece of legislation, then we want to be connecting them with our legislative director, Danny Richter. If they say, yes, I'd like to join the Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus, if they are Republican, we will let them in right away. And the connection to be made there is with Jay Butera, who is our volunteer who works closely with the Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus. If they are a Democrat, you can also connect them with Jay. They will need to find a Republican to join with them. If they are a Republican and you've asked them to sign the House resolution, the Republican House resolution that says climate change is real and Congress needs to begin solving it, then of course you can connect back with Danny Richter. So those three big things is something you would want to go back and talk to Danny or Jay Butera about. And you can reach back up to your group leader or your state coordinator, your regional coordinator, and those folks can make that connection for you.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say, and Brett, maybe if since you're in community right now, you can just search for Action Logic. We're so crazily prepared, Jim, that we actually have Danny's prepared an if-then scenario. If they do say yes to something, shows here's what you should do with that step. So just it's all the stuff Ellie was just talking about, right? If they say yes to the Climate Solutions Caucus, do this, put them in contact with this person. If they say yes to the Republican Climate Resolution, put them in this, you know, that. So there is an action logic on CCL community that's part of our lobbying materials that we can get to you. Richard, did you have a question?
Yeah, I want to go back to Representative Bradley's point that, this sounds like maybe this would make sense, but the constituents in my state or my district, they don't really see this as a priority, and, you know, our president is definitely not heading in this direction, and so, you know, I think we ought to do this, but how about maybe next session of Congress would be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard of let's do it next session of Congress before, but I have heard, that other stuff there before. Ellie, do you want to take that, or do you have any thoughts on that, or Brett, or...
Say that again. I was looking up that action logic while you were.
I have posted them all on the chat.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the question was if the representative or the senator says, yeah, it sounds like you guys have kind of a decent plan there, and we definitely ought to do something about climate change, but my constituents, just they're not talking about it, and it's not a big issue for them, and I don't want to get out in front of the troops too far. I've got an election coming up next year, and you guys do great work, and I hope to see you again next year, you know.
Yeah. So what he does not sense yet is political will in the district. And so then if it's the question then that you can ask back to the member of Congress or the staff person is, who do you need to hear from in the district to sense that there is a growing desire for this? And if it's a, here's a really interesting story about our group in San Diego. So, you know, one of our oldest groups around for almost 10 years now, they had been meeting with their member of Congress, not the member of Congress, the staff person, every year. And they knew that the member of Congress was in the armed forces. He's retired armed forces. His father was in the armed forces. So our volunteers thought it would be so good to talk to that member of Congress, the staff person, about how the military sees climate change as a threat multiplier, taxing the military beyond its capacity, on and on about that. So every time they would go, they would bring more information about the military and climate change, military and climate change. Finally, they asked the staff person, who does our member of Congress trust back in the district? Thinking, you know, maybe it's time to go get some endorsements. And the staff person said, farmers. So all these years they'd been trying to push this military idea, and really the member of Congress needs to start hearing from farmers. So now our volunteers are back in the district talking to farmers, talking to agricultural organizations, the local farm bureau, the different crop grower associations, to see if they can get their endorsements to take those back to the member of Congress. So that's what you're looking for. What does that member of Congress need to sense political will? What umbrella, what political cover do they need for you to open? It's about what we're going to do in the district. So that's the question. How can I help build the political will? Who do you need to hear from?
You know, I'll add to that. You know, one thing that we'll ask of a lot of district directors as well is, well, what are you hearing about? You know, like, if it's not about climate, what are you hearing about? And then what does that sound like? Like, what's the volume? When you say you're getting a lot of comments on, you know, Obamacare, let's just throw that out there for an example. You know, like, what does that sound like? Is it 10 calls a day? Is it, you know, like, to try to get some more information out of Richard? Because if a lot of them will tell you, oh, yeah, if they get 5 or 6 calls in a day on something, that's a huge topic. So, well, wait a minute. And that's like, and should inform us, like, oh, well, we could certainly do that as well, you know? So it helps. I think it's just, again, it's asking those questions. Like Ellie had a great question. It's, a, you know, there's so many different ways, and just be creative. But yeah, it's a great question. There's a question in the chat, Brett, let's see, from George asking, you know, what do you think
about
a couple of, more than one supporting Ask Ready? Do you want, you guys want to take that?
Yeah, I just actually typed you back there in the chat window, George, and there's a link on community, and, you know, the link is the more supporting asks that you can strategically have in your pocket to really apply strategically with the right timing, the better, right? Just like the questions that we recommended preparing. And this link has been broken down by Republican and Democrat offices, so it's not just all about, you know, the introduction of our own policy. You know, it's not even just about the Climate Solutions Caucus or the Republican climate resolution, but it's really about, you know, holding town halls on climate change in your district, or, you know, having you know, a hearing in their own kind of committee on economists or other people testifying on the benefits of a revenue neutral carbon fee. You know, you could have them, you know, discuss REMI or household impact studies with colleagues, or the Office of the Treasury's tax analysis. You know, for Democrats, it's really important for them to commit to revenue neutrality and to really kind of look at who else they could introduce back in district for us that they know has influence with conservatives as well. So the key thing is to, you know, in your preparations here heading into DC, read through these links, come up with your own formulation. Not all of them will apply to every single member district. You know, it's no one size fits all, but we definitely encourage people to not just be caught flat footed when it comes to the supporting ask time, and have some tools to advance that conversation for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah. And George, I've been in a meeting when, you know, I'll ask for the primary ask, they'll say no, I'll ask why, you know, it's the whole thing, like, you know, my constituents don't want this, it's not my top priority, and I'll ask for a supporting ask, they'll say no, I'll even try to throw another supporting ask in there, and, you know, try to pivot to another one, and they'll say no, and then finally it's just like, well, hey, you know, who could I be talking to, the question that Ellie asked, you know, or what could we be doing more of? It's just like, I'm going to keep pushing on this, and I'm going to keep doing this in a way that makes it easier for you, because you're just not there yet. And I know that. And so it can be difficult, but that question that Ellie got to, you know, who could we be speaking to in the district? Okay, so they're helping you at that point, right? They're giving you some information that will help you help them. So great question. We've got about 2 minutes left in this lesson for this evening. Again, if you want to press *6 to unmute your phone, if you're on the phone, or press the microphone symbol next to your name, tell us who you are and where you're joining from before you ask your question.
Hi, this is Steve from Stowe, Ohio.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. Hey, greetings. I have just a quick question. I'm kind of new at this whole thing, but looks like we have a meeting set up for the DC Lobby Day and all, so that's good.
Yeah.
But one thing I see, I'm getting shared the information about the support, the endorsements, all those sorts of things. And while my district is almost a blank slate, there's practically nothing there, you know. I don't see anything, you know. And again, we're kind of new at this, so it's, you know, is that something I should be real concerned about? Again, or I guess obviously you can ask the office, you know. Again, part of the, you know, who would help you? Who would you guys like to listen to? You know, would it be businesses? Would it be church groups? Would it be whatever individual participants? So any suggestions there?
Yeah, you know, see, I would say this, you know, just think about this like a first date, right? So you don't walk in on the first date and, you know, give someone everything you got, right? You're just getting started here. And so they'll know that as well. It's another tool, right? Endorsements are a tool, but those will take time to build up. So start it off like a beginning of a relationship. Ellie, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I loved how you said a blank slate, because I think, you know, you can even take that idea into the meeting. And at the same time, you know, you can say, we're just starting up our chapter here in the district. The exciting thing is this organization's been around for 10 years now. There are volunteers in all but 50 congressional districts. So, you know, it might be our first meeting with you, but other volunteers have been having dozens of meetings with members of Congress. So, you know, you and we will be, you know, getting caught up with the rest of them. So I think it's, you know, that's kind of exciting. This is a blank slate. You don't have to go through 3 or 4 years of bringing the wrong information. You can ask right from the beginning. You know, we want to, let's get going on this in the right direction. But you certainly want to hear what they're thinking, what their questions are, what have they heard, any chitter chatter, you know. If nothing, you can help them understand. But you know, you won't have to go through as many as long a time as some of the rest of us have gone through to try to learn. You get to learn from us having learned from our own mistakes. So that's good.
Okay, that's good. I did use a couple of good angles, I think, that I said. First off, I said, you've been meeting with CCL for like 4 years now, and we've never had a face-to-face yet, because they probably haven't had a constituent. And this year they're going to have me, so we're having a constituent. So that was one. And the other good one was, I told them, you know, we've got, 30, whatever the number is, latest number is, members of the caucus now. And I said, you know, we've got 16 districts in Ohio, and there's nobody from Ohio yet. So I said, don't you think it's getting to be about time, you know? So yeah. I think we got some good things going on. So
play to your strengths, Steve. You're right. I mean, you guys might be a little bit of a blank slate, like you're saying there, which may or not be I think, like Ellie said, you could use that to your advantage. But we have the Climate Solutions Caucus, so we do have successes that you can point to,
right?
Even if you don't have endorsements right now. So
okay, awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and use the household impact study. That's what they're going to want. How will this impact his district or her district?